It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the refreshing way. Start your day the refreshing way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the refreshing.
Good morning, everyone. God bless each one of you. Today is the 11th of April. God is good. We're glad that you're with us this morning. Thank you for joining us. It's time for prayer. Father, be with us this morning. We thank you for the love that you have for us. We thank you for just the power that you have. Thank you for being a great and marvelous God. Thank you for your leading and guiding and all that you do for us. We give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. Thank you, Lord, for just giving us the opportunity to worship you, and we ask for the Holy Spirit now, in Jesus' name. All right, my brothers and sisters, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That's Psalms 118, verse 24, Psalms 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. At this time, we will have our opening song, It's About Time.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, oh Christian. It's about time. It's about
about time for the coming of Christ.
about time. Praise the Lord. We are just going to have worship, and we will not be able to open the phone lines on today, but God is good. We can still worship him together. Amen. All right, my friends, we're in the gospel in James chapter 2, the gospel in James chapter 2. Let's pray. Father, as we open the word of God, we are grateful for the treasure trove of truth. We ask that you bless us as we study in Jesus' name. Amen. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if thou come unto your assembly, for if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, there come in also a poor man in vile raiment. And ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place. Say to the poor, stand thou here, or sit thou under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do they not blaspheme that worthy name by which they are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scriptures, thou shalt love thy neighbor thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect of persons, ye commit sins and are convinced of the law, transgressors. Let's talk about those verses. My brothers and sisters, money moves people. Now, it's so interesting because the Bible says some things about money. Let me share something with you that you may not know that's in the Bible. Did you know that the Bible says money answereth all things? It's in Ecclesiastes 10:19. So money answereth all things. Notice what it says. It says, a feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. Almost any problem you have, to a point, that problem can be solved with money. Did you know that? We just have the obvious. Maybe I can't pay my rent, my house note, car note, can't get my kids in school. I mean, a lot of things people stress out about. Don't have enough money to get my health together or whatever. Or if you're just doing too much, if you could pay somebody to do it for you, money answers all things. But watch this. This is now we're going to go to some counsel in Timothy. This is what it says. This is in 1 Timothy 6:10. It says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So my brothers and sisters, while God says money answers all things, it says the love of money is the root of all evil. And so God can't trust a lot of people with money because they would not do with the money what God would want them to do with the money. And if you want to be trusted with money, you can't be a politician. And what I mean by that, I'm not talking about a literal politician. I'm talking about church members bringing politics in the church. I don't support worldly politics, but that's not what I'm saying. God has some people in high places in those positions. But the point is that we should not be political in the church, wherein, okay, I'm going to treat this person who might give us a donation or they've got more money, and I treat them a certain way as opposed to a person who doesn't have much, I would not treat in the same way. Friends, money. It's because of the money of that person who came in with a gold ring and goodly apparel that you treated them a certain way, and we despise the poor. Let me tell you something, friends. Jesus came as a poor man, and yet he was the greatest of all men. Money does not actually bring character. As a matter of fact, most people who have a lot of money, they lack character development. I didn't say all. I said most. That's why the Bible tells us something. If you go in their Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 29, notice what the Bible says. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. So notice three categories. But I'm so happy he didn't say not any. He just said not many. You see, brothers and sisters, the wise are the people with PhD degrees, okay? The mighty are people with money. Although many people with PhD degrees also have money. The noble are people, maybe because of where who you're born with, maybe you got some status because of your family line, or maybe your brother's sister might be a famous person, but it's your position. So God says people in high positions, he can't use many of them, not any, but many. I'm so happy because there have been some people like a Joseph and a Daniel and others who were in high positions, but they served the Most High God. But notice what it says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. My brothers and sisters, God in the story of Joseph used a man who was accused of rape, then given a life sentence in prison. He was a felon, okay, and made him the prime minister to save the world. And so, my friend, but Joseph, whether he was in a high estate or in a low estate, he learned to be consistent in his Christian walk. Can we be consistent in our Christian walk if we have millions of dollars in the bank? Can we be consistent in our Christian walk, friends, if we have some kind of high position? Can we be consistent if we have a lot of education, you see, of the world? Can we be consistent? That's the question. God is good, friends. And notice what it says, that no flesh should glory in his presence. God can't use the majority of people of nobility, people with money, people with high education, because they would rob him of the glory. It's that simple. So, friends, God can use you and he can entrust you with resources if you would not rob him of the glory through his name. And so we have to come close to God, my friends, and seek him and ask him to burn away all this selfishness, and understand a lot of people aren't Christians because of money. Not true Christians. You'd be surprised how many people can be bribed to do the wrong thing, even in the church, my friend. And so God deals with that here in these first verses. Money cannot be the ruling power, because if you deal with money, then you're generally speaking, if you prize money more than you prize character, not generally speaking, absolutely speaking, if you prize money more than you prize character, you're committing sin. Now, notice what it says. As it talked about verse 9, it says, but if you have respect of persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Notice what it says. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. So notice what it said in verse 8, though. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. So a lot of people use these verses to do away with God's holy Sabbath day. It is a holy day. Think of something holy as something that only God can make holy. God has made items holy, you know. When you went in the, I believe the Bible is holy. I don't think we should just toss it around and do whatever we want to and If your child needs to sit up higher in the seat, I don't think you should put a Bible under the seat, under their bottom, and let them sit on the Bible. What is that teaching them, okay? Find a phone book or something, instead. But the point being made is that God has holy things, okay? God has holy places. You have the holy place in the Bible. Even on the earth, there was a holy place, a most holy place. We learned from what we've been studying. That was a figure, a symbol of what's in heaven. There's a holy place and a most holy place where Jesus is ministering before the Father for us. But God has holy time. So he has holy things, he has holy places, and he has holy time. Okay? The Sabbath is holy time. Okay, think about that. See, we can recognize holy things. We say, okay, we better reverence this. We better not, treat this building or it's a thing, but, we can say a building is both a thing and a place. But let's just deal with maybe the Bible, okay? We have to treat the Bible with some respect, right? And then when we go to church, whether it's Saturday or Sunday, we believe that's the house of God, and so that's a holy place, we feel. And then, but we don't think about holy time. The Bible tells us this in the book of Genesis. My friends, I'm going to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 2. This is right after the world was created in 6 days. It said, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, that's a piece of time, God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day, that's a piece of time, from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day. That means he blessed a portion of time and sanctified it. He made a portion of time holy because in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Friends, you can keep reading all the way through Revelation. There is not a single verse in the Bible where God changed the sanctity of the Sabbath. He has holy time. What right do we have to make another piece of time holy when God has not made it holy, my friends? He has not. There's no verse in the Bible. That's the old covenant. There wasn't even a covenant at that time because there was no sin. The Sabbath even preceded sin, so its beginning did not begin with a covenant. And if it didn't begin with a covenant, it does not end with a covenant, my friends. God gave the Sabbath. He gave marriage. Those twin institutions, friends, we're still supposed to honor. Let's go back to the book of James now. So we found out that the royal law was, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But what most people don't understand, brothers and sisters, is that the royal law is the law of liberty that we talked about yesterday, okay? And we're going to see that. And so what most people don't recognize is Jesus said, not sure exactly where it is. Let me see if I can find it. Let me see, how would I find that? All right, I believe we'll find it. Let's see here. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 22. This is what it says in verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? See, these are arguments people use against the Sabbath, okay? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, let me tell you how we mess up. People use this and say, see, the Ten Commandments are no longer God's great commandments. We just need to love God, and we need to love our fellow man, okay? That's what they say. But when you show them something where Jesus said we should follow things like the Sabbath or whatever, then they say, oh, he hadn't died yet. That was still in the old covenant. Well, if that was still in the old covenant, then this is still in the old covenant. You follow what I'm saying? But they're saying this is not in the old covenant. This is a new covenant, because in the new covenant, we just need to love God and keep his commandments. We don't have to keep the Ten Commandments, which includes the Sabbath. Do you see the inconsistency? I hope you do. I will repeat it. When we want to do away with the Sabbath, we use scriptures that Jesus gave where it says the law, the great commandment of the law, is love God and love our fellow man. But that Jesus hadn't died yet, so we wouldn't be in the new covenant period yet. So the bottom line is they used these scriptures before he died to change the Sabbath, okay? But the bottom line is when you show where Jesus said, keep the commandments, if you love me, keep my commandments, they say things like, well, that he was talking to people in the old covenant. You can't have it both ways, brothers and sisters. But I'm going to show you that what God was talking about was a description of the spirit of the Ten Commandments. And they're still binding. Watch this. He said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. To hang means to be suspended from above with no support from beneath. He didn't say these commandments do away with. It says, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt have no other God. Thou shalt not worship idols. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. Remember the Sabbath. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And thou shalt not covet. Those commandments hang on these two. Well, how could that be? The first four deal with your love to God. If you love God, you're not going to worship anything else. You're not going to bow down to anything else. You're not going to use God's name in vain. And you're going to remember the holy time that God set up so that we can have a date with him every week. And if you love your fellow man, you'll start with the first ones you met, which are your parents, and you honor them. Then you don't kill people. And you can kill people without killing people, brothers and sisters. Jesus told us that you can call a person a name, and you've already murdered them. You see, the law is very spiritual. It covers everything. That's the same in those chapters. Jesus said you can, we haven't gotten to that commandment yet, but he said that you can lust after a woman and already commit adultery in your heart. So see, the Ten Commandments is very broad. God didn't do away with them. He expanded them and helped them to help us understand that they go as deep as your thoughts. You can be breaking God's law in your thoughts. You can be breaking the Sabbath in your thoughts. Okay? So if we love our fellow man, we honor our parents. We don't kill. We don't commit adultery. We don't steal. You see, if you love somebody, you're not going to cause them to sin just so you can feel good. Okay? You're not going to do that because you love them. Adultery is a selfish act. It's a sinful act. Now, we can have smooth words and a velvet tongue along with it, both men and women, okay, in our tempting, whether we're a tempter or a temptress. But the bottom line is if you love a person, you would not sin with that person, brothers and sisters, because you love them too much. All right, let's keep reading on or start talking about it anyway. And if you love a person, you're not going to lie to that person because the truth sets them free. You want them to be free. If you love them, you're not going to have covetousness, which comes from envy. I want what's yours, but it's not mine. Okay? So on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. They are suspended from these commandments from above with no support from beneath. Jesus was not doing away with the Sabbath in this verse. Okay? Now, remember, it talked about the royal law and said, love thy neighbor as thyself. Then it says, but if you have respect of persons, you commit sins. We're back in James chapter 2, verse 9. And are convinced of the law as transgressors. Now watch James 2:10. You should memorize this one. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Now, I'm going to stretch this, and then I'm going to come back to its obvious meaning. Those of you who are familiar with a book called Ministry of Healing, it's a powerful book. from which we get lots of wonderful biblical health principles. Did you know that when it talks about the violation of the laws of health, it talks about disease as a violation of the laws of health? You would have thought that it would say violations of the laws of health, but it says violation. Read it. Ministry of Healing, page 126, 127. It calls it singular violation. That's because this is a universal principle. If you break one law, you've broken them all. So when it comes to your health, you can eat right, drink right, dress right, exercise right, avoid harmful substances, but drink no water, and you have violated all the principles of health, and you will be sick. You can do everything right, but just eat wrong, and you will be sick. You can do everything right, but not trust in God. You can't handle the problems in this life, brothers and sisters. You will get sick because the stress of this world will get you because you don't know how to lean on the everlasting arms. So it is a violation of the laws of health, any violation. Now you might say, oh, no, that's too hard. No, it's not. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Just like it's not hard. When people talk about, oh, it's so hard, you can't keep the Sabbath, you know, too much stuff going on Saturday. You know, but the bottom line is, ask them, is it hard to not kill somebody? Now, some people might say it's hard because they have maybe they're in a gang and they just have a habit of killing people. But the average Christian, is it hard to not kill somebody? The answer is no. Is it hard to not steal and rob a bank? No. Is it hard to tell the truth and not lie? No. Now, you've got some people that are, you know, bold-faced liars and habitual liars, but I'm just saying, if you ask the average person, is it impossible, is this hard feat just to tell the truth? No. It's easier to tell the truth than to tell a lie, because you got to think up the lie. The truth is obvious. Is it hard to worship God instead of worshiping a tree or a brick or an idol? No. So why is it hard to keep the Sabbath? God has holy time. It's a date with Him. I get to spend time with my lover, my Creator. That's not hard. Do you love your spouse? Do you love your girlfriend or boyfriend? Is it hard to spend time with them? If they're treating you nicely? Okay? Think about that, friend. So let's keep reading. Because it says, if we keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, we are guilty of all. Now, it already told us that the royal law was love thy neighbor as thyself. But, of course, it's love God and love your neighbor, because we already read that in Matthew 22. He's only mentioned in the second part because it's dealing with the poor and how we treat the poor. So watch this. So speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Doesn't call the law bondage. You have people that are telling you, oh, don't be listening to these Sabbath keepers. They're trying to put you in bondage. We are free. But the Bible calls the law an entity of liberty. Let me tell you something. When you steal, you got to keep looking over your shoulder. Am I getting caught? Police behind you. And you're wondering, are they coming after me? That's bondage. When you're sleeping around, you know, oh, man, she could have a girlfriend, or he could have a boyfriend, and or he could have a wife, and she could have a husband. And therefore, you're like, am I going to get shot? That's bondage. When you do the right thing, you are at peace. You have liberty. Sin is the bondage, not the other. So keeping the Sabbath is liberty. I get to spend time with my Maker on His time that He set aside as holy time. And then it gets even better. It just called it the law of liberty. But then it tells us which law it is. It says, for he that shall have judgment, for he shall have judgment without mercy that showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. Okay, hold on. Let me just, I'm sorry, I missed the verse. It says, for whoso shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery. That's the Ten Commandments. that also do not kill. That's the Ten Commandments being identified. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. That's the whole point. You can't break one. You've broken them all. But the bottom line is, we're judged by the law of liberty. So it says, so speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. The Ten Commandments, which just were mentioned or referred to, is the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can a faith save him? That's another argument that people use. Well, we just need to have faith. The old covenant, you were saved by works. You were saved by all that Sabbath keeping. But notice what it says. Can faith save him? You see, a person who is not obedient is not a person who has faith. That's called presumption. You can call it faith, but you're not really having faith. If you say all we got to do is believe, then, and you don't have to obey, what are you believing in? Okay? That means that you don't really have what true faith is. Let's see if this holds up under Scripture's scrutiny. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not worked, is dead being alone. It's not true faith. It's not even alive. It's dead. It's not even a real thing, friends. If you don't have works that go along with your faith, you don't actually have faith. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. I have faith, and that's why I keep the Sabbath. I have faith that I will get the blessing that God promised Sabbath keepers in Isaiah 58. Let me read that blessing to you, because maybe some of us don't have that blessing because we are not keeping God's holy Sabbath day. Notice what the Bible says in Isaiah 58. It says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, that means you stop stepping on it, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight. Did it say a bondage? No, call it a delight. The holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own way. So if you want to know quickly how to keep the Sabbath, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And friends, if you study this this whole chapter, it says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, show my people their transgression, the house of Jacob their sin. It's the same chapter. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge? Because behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. And it just goes on. Watch this, verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself with thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily. And thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy rear reward. So when we do the right thing, it has health blessings. It's just a few verses later that it mentions, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath. It's in the same context of being obedient to God, friends. And so I am here to tell you that there are blessings when we keep the Sabbath. There are blessings when we keep all of God's commandments, friends. And so we want those blessings. We want our bodies to be healed, and we want our minds to be stable and all of these wonderful things. So we go back to the book of James. It says, so speak ye and so do that as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that shows no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren? We already read this. We talked about faith. So I'm going to jump down to verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. We read that. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So if all you had to do was believe, and you and the belief is not an action word that causes obedience, then the devil's going to heaven. If he's going, I'm not going. If the devil's going to heaven, I'll change religion. I'm telling you right now. The Bible says he's not going. He says hell fire is prepared for the devil and his angels in Matthew 25. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled with saying, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out away. This is a prostitute justified by works, but it was her faith. She believed what they said, and she believed that the God of the Israelites was the true God, and she acted upon that belief and hid men that were being sought after. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Friends, all God's commandments are still binding. The Ten Commandments, all of them, the Sabbath included, and this chapter is often used to bring to have people disobey one of the most important commandments of the Lord, the Sabbath commandment, which reminds us that he's the creator. I hope you were blessed by this, and I want to pray that we think these things through. We ask that God's richest blessings be upon you. Again, friends, we're not going to open the phone lines today, as we have aren't able to do so. We're going to have to end this morning. But may God bless you. We'll see you on tomorrow with worship and wellness, and may God bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. Father in heaven, be with those who have listened to this message, including the speaker. I pray that you would give us your grace and your mercy, and we thank you for all the love you have for us. In Christ's name. Friends, our closing song is I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord.
I will walk with
till I